Coming to you from the ancestral territory of the Anishinaabe and the area inhabited by the Haudenosaunee and the Mississaugas of the Credit First Nation, this is Earth Matters. I'm your host, Lawson Hunter. Earth Matters examines the impacts we have on the environment and the natural world around us, seeking solutions, reporting on news and events, presenting positive alternatives, and highlighting the steps others are taking. We hope to inspire you to join the many others who are working to preserve and protect a healthy planet. Jenna Bai is the Executive Director of Save Our Scruff. Save Our Scruff is a nonprofit organization located in Toronto dedicated to rescuing dogs and finding them safe and suitable permanent homes through adoption, advocacy, and education. Welcome to Earth Matters, Jenna.
Thank you for having me.
Great. So why don't we start off by talking about what your organization does? Obviously, you're involved with dogs and adoption. So let's start with the adoption phase of Save Our Scruff. How does that work?
So essentially, we bring in dogs from all over the world, and we put them into foster homes within Southern Ontario. At that time, this is the first time they've ever, a lot of them have been in a Canadian context type of home. So we get them comfortable, we figure out who they are and what they're looking for, what their needs are with the Forever family. And then we post them on our website, and our Facebook page and our Instagram, and we accept applications from them, looking for homes that would cater to their needs, as well as fit into homes that are currently available. And that process is about 2 weeks. You do a application, a quiz, a interview with one of our teammates, and we do reference checks, home checks, and there's an adoption fee and contract.
Is there a great need for this? Obviously, you know, there are a lot of dogs in the world and most of them have owners. So what is the need and what's driving this need?
To be honest, most of the dogs in the world are homeless, at least a lot of them, a good percentage are. So Save Our Scruff, we started very, very small about 5 years ago, kind of rescuing dogs here and there. And why we've become so big is because there's been such a need, there's been such a desire to bring dogs into family homes. And people are looking to rescue instead of go to breeders, which is amazing because we're setting up dogs that are already existing, already homeless, already without homes, and we're putting them into families versus in the old ways of life is you would go to a pet store that has had puppies created as a purchase product. So we're actually filling the need of dogs that are homeless, that don't have a space, and we're filling the need of humans that are looking for a companion animal. So we used to rescue a couple of dogs here and there, and now we're adopting at about 30 dogs a month, which is directly related to people who are constantly applying, looking for a companion animal. So I would absolutely say that there's a need right now.
I want to get to the challenges of dealing with a rescue dog in a minute, but right now I want to find out how the choosing of dogs operation works. How does that happen? You're based in Toronto and you say you operate around the world. So how does that work?
So we all are remote. So I personally live in Burlington. A lot of my team lives in Toronto. And a lot of our dogs come in from Toronto Pearson Airport. So we have transporters that bring them to foster homes all throughout Southern Ontario. And we, like, people just go and meet the dogs kind of wherever they are. So it's not really an issue once they come into Southern Ontario, other than a lot of people in Toronto not having vehicles.
So is there a service that supplies you with the dogs, or do you actually go to different countries and select the dogs?
I don't personally think that I have the correct understanding to be able to understand the problems of different countries that we work with. So we specifically work with rescue partners is what we call them. And this would be a shelter or some sort of rescue organization in another country. And they would be the ones that are kind of doing the local work within their communities. A lot of them are also running spay neuter clinics, doing educational pieces, and just kind of helping their communities understand the needs of dogs there. So we directly work with them, and we take dogs from their shelters, their organizations, so that they can take on more dogs off of the street. So a lot of our dogs have potentially been in shelters for a couple months, up to a couple of years, depending on how long they've been waiting to fly to Canada. And there's definitely like a type of dog that can be sent to Canada. Like, a dog needs to be socialized. It needs to be generally friendly or wanting to be around humans. We have enough dogs in Canada that are experiencing difficulties, and we do our best to work with those dogs here. So when we bring in a dog from another country, we don't want to fill the place of a dog that already exists in Canada. So we bring in dogs that are friendly, sociable, that are ready to find a forever home here.
And you work with organizations in different countries around the world. You're not just dealing with people that run around scooping up homeless dogs, putting them on a plane and sending them to Toronto.
Oh, no. A lot of our dogs have to go through like a vetting quarantine before they come here, just to make sure that they're not carrying any diseases, just making sure that they're generally healthy to travel. It's stressful to go on a plane, just as a lot of humans even experience. And we're not going to put a dog that is going to have a setback by traveling overseas. So the dog has generally been in rescue care for at least a couple months, checking their veterinary needs, making sure that their behavior understanding is something that can be put into a Canadian context environment. If a dog's extremely nervous and Dominican, for example, and you put that dog on a plane and then send it to Toronto, to a city that it's never experienced, that's just a lot of hardships that they can experience from that. So we make sure that we send outgoing, sociable, friendly, human interactive dogs.
Now, you mentioned Dominican. Name some of the other countries that you've adopted dogs from.
So Dominican and Mexico are quite frequent. Egypt, we just had a dog from Russia, India, Costa Rica, we get a lot of dogs from. We get a lot of dogs from the States, southern states, as well as California. If you, anywhere you kind of think of, I could probably say we've taken in one or two dogs from there. We have tons of organizations that we work with.
You mentioned Costa Rica, and I'm thinking of the devastation that just happened a little while ago with the hurricane. And I also have this image in my mind a number of years ago with New Orleans and the hurricane that hit there, and the rescue operations focused on picking up humans, but they had to leave the animals behind. Is that one of the drivers? Is that one of the sources for dogs that you come across?
At times it is. Like, you'll see a surplus of dogs kind of sometimes after those experiences, or you'll see like a band of different rescue organizations working together during an operation like that. I would say what rescue does is we deal with a very specific root problem of something that's larger than life. So when you have like a hurricane, it's a complicated issue. It's a complicated solution. And I think something that's so great about what we're doing is we're really the experts in dog rescue and dog sanctuary. And so we can come in to those kind of scenarios and we can support the needs of dogs while other people who have environmental kind of agendas or human agendas, they can spend more time dealing with the root problems of what they need to do. So we kind of alleviate one kind of small step towards like a greater solution that's needed, and it kind of helps. We're a helper. We're a helping hand in these scenarios that, again, are multifaceted and very complex.
One of the things on your website, you talk about how we're different. So tell us how Save Our Scruff is different from other rescue operations.
So we're different in that we don't discriminate for really anything. So we are very case-by-case oriented, and we are here to hear out and really represent each individual dog as well as each individual family. So, on the dog perspective, we don't bring in a specific breed, a specific age, look, a medical need, anything. Like, we're open-minded. When we have the space and we have the foster home available, we take in dogs in wheelchairs, we take in seniors, we take in puppies, we take in Rottweilers to Chihuahuas to Great Danes to Mutts. We don't discriminate, which a lot of rescues are very specific in the types of dogs they bring in. So we're kind of open to giving any dog a second chance as long as it's suitable to the contexts that we have available. And then the same with family. So we constantly are hearing from people that they've been denied from other rescues because they don't have a fenced-in backyard, they don't have a backyard, they live in a condo, they have children, they have cats. They work a 9-to-5, and we do our best to match the specific dog with a specific family and vice versa. We're not resisting what society looks like these days, and it would be hard for us to say all dogs deserve a family that works from home. We don't really think that those families exist, nor are they really necessary for a dog to thrive in a home environment. I mean, dogs sleep 18 hours a day most of the time, depending on the needs of the dog. So we do our best to match a dog with a forever family that works for them. Like, we had a dog that was locally surrendered from Toronto area, and we had that dog for almost a year or 2 years in training, waiting for the perfect family. And it was because it was a difficult find, and this dog was a Rottweiler. He had been under-socialized for most of his life and was really an energizer bunny slash bull in a china shop and needed a very specific type of home. And more recently, we found him a home in with a runner. So he gets out, like, I don't know, 20-kilometer runs a day, every day. And that's suitable for his context, whereas there are some dogs that can live in a 9-to-5 person's home and sleep during the day. As long as you're willing to kind of be open-minded when you come to our adoption process and listen to kind of our expert advice of, hey, you know what? I hear you're looking for a puppy right now, but we believe that a more mature dog that's more suit could be more suited for your household. We match up families and dogs quite well in that sense.
It sounds like you need a lot of bandwidth as far as your staff are concerned to be able to handle different breeds and different scenarios. Talk to me a little bit about who else is in your office, who else is in your operation.
Yeah, so my sister and I are pretty much run the organization from a leadership perspective. So she's the founder, and then I'm considered the executive director, although I wear many hats. But I manage about 50 volunteers that have dedicated positions with Save Our Scruffs. So we have an adoption team, a foster team, a vetting team, a global opportunities team. We have a volunteer team, an alumni team, an events team. And all of those teams have people that work under those teams. So maybe 5 to 10 people that work within that team, and then also some casual volunteers that help out. For example, we have a transport and a supplies team, which are really detrimental teams to us because, as I said, we are completely foster oriented. So all of our dogs that come in have to get to a foster home, which is a hardship based off of other organizations that have an intake center and kind of stay in a shelter type environment. They all go to one place, so it's a lot easier to coordinate. As I said, yeah, we have about 30 dogs that come in a month. That means we have 30 people that have to pick up dogs from the airport and drive them to foster homes. We have 30 people a month that have to pick up a dog and bring it to the vet. 30 transporters a month that have to pick up a supply package and bring it to their foster home. So we have a ton of dedicated, is what we call them, volunteers, and then we have a lot of casual volunteers that help out a couple hours a week as well.
A lot of organization going on there. How many dogs, you mentioned that you've been in operation for 5 years. How many dogs have you rescued so far?
We kind of start, I stopped counting at about 1,600, but it's been on my agenda to look into things and see how far we are. I would say we're probably around 2,000 now.
Mm-hmm. Besides the organization with the volunteers and whatever, there's got to be a lot of, and I think it was supplies team that you mentioned, or surprise team. Supplies. So let's talk about food and shelter, and there's got to be some overhead. So, A, how do you get funded, and B, where do you source, say, food, for example?
So we're completely community funded. So all of our money comes in from whether someone goes on our website, saveourscruff.org, and clicks donate and gives us $25. So that's a very common way that we receive money. It's just these small transactions. As well, we receive donations. We do a lot of events that we fundraise for. We have a gala every April, which happens in Toronto. It's about $100, and everything's included in your ticket. And that's like our huge fundraising effort for the year. But otherwise, we just are kind of constantly working at a small scale to bring in $100 here and there, and that pretty much funds all the efforts that we do. And to your second question with food and supplies, again, everything is to the community. So whether it's a store that couldn't sell 10 collars because of the color that they came in and they decide to donate them instead of keeping them on their shelves, we have a lot of one-offs. People are just donating gently used items that they no longer need for their pets. We have people that specifically go out and purchase items or give us donations specifically to purchase specific items. Everything is just donated to the community, which again, logistically is challenging because we have to coordinate all of the pickup of every item. So I hope you can imagine if we have at least 30 dogs a month, that's about 30 bags of food that are picked up from local citizens like you and I, and we pick up those things sometimes one at a time, sometimes in a larger sum if it's from a pet store. Everything is donated from lovely human beings. So we're kind of operating at a large scale of an organization at a very small scale type of pace, but we are completely community funded and organized. So everything we do and everything that you see come through our shelter is directly based off of what our community is able to support us on.
You also mentioned advocacy. What kind of advocacy does Save Our Scruffs do?
So we're very big on helping our community and our supporters understand the needs of dogs. So over a very long time, having a dog in your home has been considered kind of a more selfish type of decision. Like a lot of people get a dog because they want a dog. And because of that general idea of that transaction of bringing a dog into your home, we think of our needs when a dog is in the house. And Save Our Scruff is really big on advocating for the needs of our animals and our companion dogs, and making sure that they feel safe and comfortable. So we help educate anyone who is interacting specifically with our dogs on how to read their language. So whether it's their body language, whether it's what they're saying with their behaviors or what they're deciding to do, and helping people understand the root of where that's coming from versus, hey, my dog got in the garbage, my dog's a bad dog, or my dog wasn't listening. Well, how are you communicating to your animal to let them know this is what you need from them? Dogs are pack animals, so they thrive in a leadership environment. So if you are not a leader to your dog is going to be the leader. And that's when you see things happen like bite incidents. That's when you see dogs that guard the home or generally are barking when people come over, or very defensive of their owners or themselves. When dogs will guard their toys or items in the home, things like that we commonly see, and people think that they maybe have a bad dog, or they want to surrender their dog because their dog isn't exhibiting behaviors that they want from an animal. And we work really hard at helping build an awareness of dogs' innate needs so that humans can, our Save Our Scruff community, can work one-on-one with their animal in a way that communicates to their dog exactly what they're looking for. So you can have that positive relationship and that companionship that is both-sided and is mutual with respect on both ends. And when people are open to kind of being guided through this journey of how to advocate for dogs with Save Our Scruff, we see way better relationships with dogs. We see better companionship. And these are things that people really at the end of the day want. They just don't know how to get there. We run seminars on a monthly basis where we do them in Toronto and we do them in Burlington currently. We have one coming up actually on the 23rd of November. And it's a two-hour seminar where we basically teach you from A to Z of what dog ownership looks like, what the relationship needs to look like with a dog to be communicated in a positive way that works with that dog so that they can have the best type of home available to them.
I can think of a lot of people that need that education that should attend that seminar. Is there a cost to those seminars?
Those seminars, yeah, they're actually free. We do gladly take donation of items or monetary if anyone wants to, but we offer them free as we think it's really, really important for every person that wants to be able to attend them has the opportunity to do so.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're coming up to Christmas, and of course, a lot of families think, oh, a dog would be a great thing to give somebody for a Christmas present. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that is a very common thing that we see. So we are not for the idea of a dog as a Christmas present, mostly because a dog should be a collective decision. A dog is going to change the way that your household exists, and everyone needs to be on board with that understanding to make sure that this is something that they can commit to lifelong, which in a lot of cases is 15 years. So we like everyone to be involved, whether they're under the age of 12, over the age of 85, or they're like the parents or guardians of the household. Everyone should be a part of it, which is why in our adoption process, you have to have everyone go out and meet the dog and build a connection and get to know the foster and make sure that it's a good step going forward. So we don't adopt out to families that are kind of doing getting a dog as a present, just because we don't think that that's a suitable kind of context to invite a new animal, a new being into your home if not everyone is understanding of what that looks like. So you could have the person who is, let's just say, buying the present of the dog. They might say, oh, this is what I think that they want, or this is what I think that they'll do. And yeah, they want to jog every morning with this dog, so let me get this little puppy that is going to have higher energy when it grows up. And a lot of times we find is that there's this overall excitement at the beginning, but being able to long-term be able to provide what those dogs need is not likely. And that's why you see a lot of animals, not just dogs, given up after holidays, whether it's Christmas or the common rabbit that is purchased around Easter time. There's like these constant times that animal welfare organizations are always in large surplus because their communities no longer want to care for them. So yeah, we're definitely the opposite, I guess you could say, of the idea of bringing a dog in as a present. And I mean, you can give a dog as a gift in a sense, but it can be a family discussion as well. So I know for me right now, like I'm asking for something for Christmas and I already know what I'm getting, and there's still a fun element to that, but I have a say in what I'm getting so that I don't have something given to me that I don't necessarily need that I can't return. And a dog is something that unfortunately, or to our belief, should be a lifetime commitment. So you can't return it if it doesn't work out.
The idea of a rescue dog as opposed to a puppy. Puppies have their own challenges, obviously. Mm-hmm. They're a little more rambunctious, a little untrained. What are the challenges of dealing with a rescue dog?
I think that there's a lot of discrimination and stigma on rescue dogs, and I think the issue is really more humans, to be quite frank. We're just not really set up as a society to understand the needs of dogs, which is why we're trying to educate to that. So when you adopt a dog through Save Our Scruff, you actually will get that education to be able to have a successful relationship with your animal. So take that into consideration first and foremost. Otherwise, I would say the differences that you experience when you adopt necessarily a puppy or a rescue dog, which to be honest can also be a puppy, is just the exposure difference. So a lot of our dogs, people kind of assume that they've been abused, neglected, mistreated. A lot of times that's not true. A lot of our dogs are brought into the shelter, maybe they were a day old and they're puppies, but they can't fly to Canada until they're 8 months old. And I think the biggest difference that we see is just exposure. So the environment is so different from living in a shelter in Dominican with lots of dogs, but not a lot of humans, and not a city bus driving around on the street or a garbage truck. And so a lot of the things that people tend to see are just low exposure in their dogs' experiences post or pre-Canada. So that's really what we're having people work on, is helping socialize their dogs in the new environment, as well as understanding their dog's innate needs, that they can be the leader from day one and successfully guide their dog in this human world, which is something that people don't really consider, is that we have to be a guide for our animals to succeed. It's not natural for a dog to live in a household. This is a human world. So we need to make sure that we're guiding members for them to have a successful journey. I have a Dominican mutt. He was out in the snow this morning, which people can't believe. And he lives an amazing lifestyle here, although he was living in Dominican until he was 2 years old. I had to completely expose him to brand new things. As well as this summer, we taught him how to jump through a hula hoop, which is exposure that isn't always necessary, but it advances his relationship with me because we're learning and growing together. So I think what you're experiencing when you bring in any type of dog is you have to learn how to teach that dog and also learn alongside them. So those are things that we kind of bring about in our adoption process. But yeah, I think it's more just that people are unfamiliar of the innate needs of dogs. And I think that that's why we're building this awareness and understanding of dog advocacy, to be able to make sure that people are kind of setting their dogs up for success.
How can people find out more information about Save Our Scruff?
So we have a website, saveourscruff.org, which has loads of information that's super awesome to look at. Also, if you just want to like cute photos of dogs, you can always just follow us on Instagram, which is at saveourscruff, or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/saveourscruff. Anything helps, from liking a photo so that your friends see it, to giving a donation, to signing up to casually volunteer, foster, or adopt.
Jenna Bai, Executive Director of Save Our Scruff, thank you very much for joining us on Earth Matters.
Thank you.
Lawson Hunter here, host and producer of Earth Matters. I wanted to thank all the listeners of Earth Matters for your continuing support. As always, please feel free to send us your comments, suggestions, and thoughts on topics and people we should look at for future programs. Email us at earthmatters@newsandcomment.com. News and comment.com.